it's a cold one. It is, boy. And you know what kind of idiot would run in this stuff? Right? Oh, my goodness. All right. First off, I just got to say, Sweetheart City Racing is amazing. If it was a somewhat better day, like I'm talking even 20 degrees, it would have felt like a beautiful run. It was 4 miles, you know. Colfax, I finished 4 miles in 40 minutes. I don't know if that's good. I stopped to walk a little bit. I did not. I finished the first 2 miles without walking, but it was cool. It was in the Sweetheart City Festival Reimagined, I guess it's called, in downtown Loveland. It's awesome. A lot of booths out there. A lot of great things. And I was kind of in the middle of the pack. You know, I tried to keep up with the front runners at first, but I mean, these, you can tell, you know, you've seen runners, Colfax. You can tell who does this every day. They show up, and first off, they're geared up, and their calves are the size of Kentucky. And so I knew I wasn't going to be able to stay up there, but it was cold. It was 3 degrees when we started. I was regretting life's decisions at that point, but ultimately had a great time. Sweetheart City Racing made it so much fun. It's just different than just running. You know, it's got a fun feel to it. Anyway, that was cool. It was cold. But 40 minutes good?
10-minute miles.
I mean, but again, I don't run. I'm not a runner. Yeah. Give me a break here.
I mean, good for you. Yeah, good for you.
I don't know if I like that. I don't think that's a compliment. So I'm going to try to get better next time. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing this. Ultimately, it was cool. It was a fun time. What is this McLean? What is McLean firing on? What is going on here? What is happening here? Is this just a weird fact of the day? This isn't Top Text Tuesday, McLean. Is that real?
By the way, I don't know.
Should we look that up? Yeah, that was nuts. Okay, so McLean keep coming with weird. I don't even know if I'm going to read that. Should I read that? Sometimes I don't read the text. McLean is a wild card lately. Ever since, you know, I beat him in the Madden tournament, things have been a little different. How about last night? Denver takes care of the Lakers. Now, I know this was kind of a weird game. Anthony Davis goes out in the first half. But, I mean, Denver comes into this game without Will Barton, still no Gary Harris. And they were actually, Jamal Murray was questionable. He ended up playing and put together a beautiful game, 25 points, 6 boards, and 4 assists. But again, the story was the Joker getting back at it. He had a triple double, 23 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. The Nuggets, probably their biggest win of the season. They beat LA 122-105. It really wasn't much of a question mark. I mean, it was tied up at the end of the first, but then the Nuggets outscored LA 40-28 in the second. LA made a push against Denver, which in the third is what happens, but Denver still able to maintain, and they held on in the fourth, and Joker didn't have to play a lot of that fourth quarter, so that worked out. But there's a lot of good storylines from last night's game. I mean, obviously the Joker was there. You saw Murray come up with a big game. They started like this. Jamal Murray and Morris. They started Monte Morris at 1 and 2. And then they started with Porter as the small forward. Paul Millsap as the power forward. And then Joker, of course, at the center position. So interesting lineup there. But what I noticed was the rook, Zeke Nnaji. I love this guy. I was so pumped Denver got him. I was actually very hopeful that he would get some playing time this year, but you know, some of our Nuggets insiders were not very optimistic about that. Well, he got a shot the other night. You know, when Denver was shorthanded and then they kind of ran away with it, you got to see Zeke Nnaji play. And we wondered, is he going to get some more time? Didn't get a whole lot of time the other night against OKC. But then you see him play 24 minutes in this one against the Lakers. 16 points, 3 boards, and he had a steal. And I think, man, future's looking pretty bright there with Zeke Nnaji. And then R.J. Hampton, who only had 4 points in this one, but 4 boards, 1 assist. He's getting more confidence as we go. And Nnaji can shoot. Like, he is not afraid to shoot the basketball. 4 for 5 from the three-point line. And he's going to drive to the rim. I mean, it's good. I mean, I'm very excited to see what that future does look like and how much more these guys are going to get some action. But as long as Gary Harris is out, Will Barton's out, you know, P.J. Dozier's out, you're going to expect more. And you saw Faku Campazzo get after it, too. He's pulling the jokers out. You know, he's doing the no-look passes and everything. He had 15 points, 4 assists, some strong rebounds. And this was a big win, huge win for the Nuggets. Denver now sitting at 15-11. They've won 3 in a row, and this is what you wanted to see. It's kind of a tough schedule coming up this week. So being able to beat the Lakers there, you got to feel like you're ahead. OKC had control of the Nuggets all Friday night. Somehow, some way, Denver comes back, wins that thing. Jamal Murray, again, didn't look right. He looked banged up. He looked hurt. He looked exhausted. But then he comes out against the Lakers and puts on a hell of a performance. So now Denver's at Boston. It'll be tough. But then they're at Washington. Should win that game. Charlotte, you know, game's kind of starting to ease up a bit until they get Portland next Tuesday on TNT. So Denver gets their 15th win. That was big. And, you know, the story really is the depth. You know, it's kind of a different depth chart than we expected. We didn't expect Zeke Nnaji. We didn't expect RJ Hampton, although he's been playing for the last several weeks. Yeah, you didn't know if you were going to see Campazzo come in with a 26-minute game. But here we are. You're starting to see this bench step up in big ways. And, you know, at the same time, Joker's still putting on that MVP-type season. LeBron James, 22 points. He had 10 boards, 9 assists. He almost had the triple-double, but he was minus 17 when on the floor. So, you know, I think he had one travel call, too, that they didn't call. Started his dunk from, like, half court. Took, like, 467 steps. But they don't call it on LeBron. Davis had 15, but again, he only played the first half. He only played 14 minutes, and he could be out for a while. Be interesting to see how they do there. First Advantage text line, your thoughts on that one. 970-478-1301. Here's a good one. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. How about this? We ask this quite a bit. Is Nikola Jokic the most popular pro athlete in the state of Colorado? We've asked, okay, who's the most popular? It always came down to Von Miller, Nolan Arenado, Nathan MacKinnon, Nikola Jokic, throw another player in there. I mean, come on, it's got to be Joker, right? I mean, Nathan MacKinnon's still there. The Avs get back into action last night. They lose. I mean, I don't know how much you expect. They were off for like 2 weeks, so certainly going to be rusty. I think they play tomorrow night. But Nathan MacKinnon's up there. Trevor Story? Certainly not, right? I mean, on a bad baseball team, sure, he's the most popular, but you know, it was if Nolan was still here, that I think the answer would still be Nolan. But how about that? 70% of the hooligans, though, are saying no, he's not the most popular athlete. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote, and let me know what you guys think. I'm not sure. There's always haters out there, and apparently the haters just got to the website early today. Or you're still putting Nathan MacKinnon up there. Or Trevor Story, is Vaughn really even in this race? I mean, Vaughn's a Hall of Famer. We all know the Basketball Hall of Fame is different because it's just the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA, which I think is ridiculous. But is Joker a Basketball Hall of Famer at this stage right now? And probably not. No, I would say no. But Von Miller is. Von Miller is a Pro Bowler, or a Hall of Famer, excuse me. All right, we're getting some yeses here. 41% of the hooligans now saying yes. Yeah, he's got to be. Who is it from the Broncos then? Assuming the Justin Simmons deal is probably going to get done, but assuming it's between Justin Simmons and Von Miller, Philip Lindsay, Garrett Bowles. Seriously, Garrett Bowles is probably the best, most popular Bronco right now. Did you see what he did yesterday? It was hilarious. You know all the holding things that came out on Valentine's Day? You know, it was like a Valentine's Day card. It's like, I just want to hold you. And it had Garrett Bowles' picture on it. You know, and there was always the, I just want someone to hold me the way Garrett Bowles does, holds people. Well, he came out, he shared that yesterday. And he goes, it's cool to be able to laugh about this now. Like, I retweeted that. And I mean, is that not one of the biggest comeback stories or turnarounds we've seen in Broncos history? The guy goes from a first-round pick to perhaps the laughing stock as far as left tackles go, not just amongst the Broncos, but in the NFL, to getting booed, to he's a Pro Bowler, He's the best left tackle, perhaps the best left tackle in the NFL based on 1 year. And he's the best, probably the best offensive player the Broncos have. I would say, yeah, consistently. What a turnaround, man. So good for Garrett Bowles and having some fun with that, too. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. Did you know that for many beginners, runners, they average somewhere between 12 and 13 minutes mile per hour from runners.com? So 12 and 13 minute mile per hour. Okay.
There you go.
So I'm above average?
Above average.
And that's good to know. I did not feel like it. I felt, as people were passing me, I felt like a giant bear that was just like gasping for air. I felt like that's how I looked. Like if you were to spot me, and I had music on. So in my head, my breathing's like this. You know, I'm all like, wow, it probably sound awesome. And then when I stopped my phone for a second, just to stop the music, all I could hear was, oh my God. You know, that's how I probably sounded to people passing me by. Pete says, absolutely, Joker is built like every 50-year-old man playing 6 a.m. pickup ball. Relatable to the common man. He is. Like, he does things. He looks kind of like the rec player, you know, the guy that's just throwing all these crazy passes everywhere. These no-look. Do you remember Space Jam when Bill Murray comes in?
Yes.
And he's like, he's not scoring a lot, but he's just passing it like crazy. He's finding open guys, no-look passes. And then Bill Murray, like at halftime, is like, I'm no more for me, man. His knees are killing him. But he's actually pretty damn good. Yeah, I think he is relatable in that way. This was a big game. This was a big, big game for Denver. Let's see how they follow this up in the next couple of weeks. All right, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend that was, thanks to FMS Bank, banking made simple. Well, the good, I mean, I'm going to go right back to it. The Joker continues to put up MVP numbers, and that game was what you needed. You needed to go up against the other MVP candidate in LeBron James, beat him on your home floor, outperform him on your home floor, get the triple-double.
Jokic can shoot over Gasol if he wants. He does.
Jokic against Gasol. Two old-fashioned big men, and Jokic gets that one to go up and in.
Now Nikola Jokic inside, and he drops it in. And the Lakers defense inside, porous at the moment.
Well, Jokic drives on Davis. Keeps inside, flips it up. Shot's good. He is just so good.
Oh, awesome performance there. Great job by the Joker. Don't forget, we're going to have Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos talking Broncos with us. Well, maybe get his thoughts on this. Here's the bad. Okay, the daughter of the guy that made the Super Bowl trophy this year came out on Twitter or Facebook or something and has a problem with Tommy Bones.
It just really upset me that this trophy was disgraced and disrespected by being thrown as if it was a real football. I didn't sleep for the past two nights because of this. I was that upset because I know the passion that goes into this trophy and how my dad and all his fellow silversmiths are so proud to make this. I personally would like an apology, not just to me and my family and the other silversmiths, but to the fans.
The fans don't care. We want you to get hammered and throw that bad boy around. That was fun. Have you seen what they do to Lord Stanley's cup? The Stanley Cup, man, those guys probably pee in that thing, drink out of that thing, and God knows what else, and in no particular order. It's not the Purple Heart, okay? This isn't a Medal of Honor. This is a game, a sports game that we love, and you won the ultimate game. Get over yourself. As long as they're not, like, taking a hammer to it and like, saying, I'm just going to destroy this because I disrespect the game. All right, then I have an issue. But you chucked it to Gronk. Have you seen his hands? Did you see his hands in the Super Bowl? He was sure-handed, man. And first off, Tom didn't throw that like a football. He underthrew it. So there's a lot of inaccuracies with your statement there. He underthrew that bad boy. When have you seen Tom Brady throw a football underthrow style? You haven't. Maybe do some research. I have zero issue with that. Zero issue. All right, the ugly. CU lost to Cal over the weekend. Yikes.
Two-point game. Matt Bradley for three. Huge shot for the Bears.
That was rough. Okay, so I'll get to my game of the week coming up a little bit later on. A lot to talk about. Zach Stevens coming up next. Where are we this time when we talk about the quarterback situation, Justin Simmons, Von Miller? Any ideas as to what the Denver Broncos are going to do in free agency? Well, so we'll get to that. More on this Tom Brady deal. Not just the trophy, but, man, haters are just going to hate this guy. It's absolutely bizarre world to me. And how is Drew Locke going to respond to basically the entire team not necessarily going against him and advocating for Deshaun? Some of them are, but nobody's really coming, stepping up to the plate for Mr. Locke. How do you think he views that situation? All right, a lot to get to. Short time to do it. Stick around. More Broncos talk coming up next with the man, the myth, the legend, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. We'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Cephalu Fowl, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're going with a new Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Do you have any issues with Tom Brady's post-Super Bowl celebration and the tossing of the Lombardi Trophy? I mean, it was over water, so the worst that's going to happen, it's going to hit water, and, you know, Gronk's going to have to dive down there and grab it, and I'm guessing that thing doesn't float, so, you have to a Gronk dive, which I think would be pretty epic. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, any issue with tossing the Super Bowl trophy around?
You know, he's acting like he has six other ones to fall back on. and you know, I thought it was pretty hilarious. And the crazy part about that is where they were in the water, it's 80 feet deep right there. So if that thing goes in, I don't know if a Gronk dive is even going to be able to save it.
I'm guessing you heard... I get the maker of the trophy. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm losing the name right now. The daughter was pretty upset. Thought it was a show of, and I guess the way I look at it, it's like at the end of the day, this is a game, and they're playing a game for a game's trophy. And you know, aside from taking a hammer to smashing it to pieces, I guess I just don't have that big of an issue with it.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it at all, especially because he caught it. Would have been a little more interesting if it did fall in the water. But so Brady, and I think it's a great power to play question. What is more disrespectful, I guess, to the people that think it's disrespectful? That, Tom throwing it, or Gronk using it as a baseball bat, as he did, and actually making a dent in it last year?
Right. And you know, and then the other people are talking about the Stanley Cup. I mean, I don't even want to know what's done with that. Right. Seriously, like some bad things happened to that poor cup.
All right. Tons of things poured in it.
So anyway, people have to have something, I guess, to get going if it's a slow day in the news, which I didn't think that was possible anymore. Zach, my man. All right, so where are we? I want to spend some time with you today. I want to get some information about as far as free agents for the Broncos, bringing guys back every week. We get a little bit closer, but how do you feel if you're Drew Locke right now? I mean, some players are actively lobbying to get Deshaun Watson here. Some players are saying, oh, it'd be great to have him. And then some, like Dalton Reisner, they're saying the right things, but it's not like they're 100% going to bat for Drew Locke. Does he got to feel like he's alone on an island right now?
Yeah, it must be tough. And you hope for Drew's sake that he's not on Twitter, not seeing any of this, because you're absolutely right. It's really tough to defend Drew right now, especially when it's not just guys like you and I talking about it, Brady. It's his teammates, and Kareem Jackson is out there just openly trying to get Deshaun Watson to Denver. And now, when we talk about Deshaun Watson, Drew really shouldn't have his feelings hurt that bad, because, I mean, we're talking about a huge upgrade for 80% of the NFL is what Deshaun Watson should be. So that shouldn't be too personal. But Brady, what happens if Deshaun Watson is traded tomorrow to a team that's not the Broncos. Then do Kareem and these other teammates that have openly wanted Deshaun Watson, do they go and say, okay, let's get Dak Prescott in free agency? And does it keep going down this line? And then we have, you know, once the draft comes around, we have some veterans talking about how, you know, Mac Jones or Justin Fields would be great. Then that really is something that could impact the relationships there. But if Drew Lock does see this and hear about this, I hope he realizes just how much of an upgrade that Deshaun Watson would be. And, of course, as a competitor, I'm sure he doesn't like that. But, Brady, I think this is something that is interesting. You typically don't have teammates openly campaigning for other players, especially at the quarterback position.
No, it's just nuts, right? And yeah, you said at the quarterback position, it's one thing to say, you know, we want another running back, we want another cornerback. Okay, well, that's not necessarily replacing you, as we saw with Melvin
right.
Gordon. We're going to split carries, and ultimately there is no true number one, however you want to look at that. But yeah, this is what's difficult, and this is why this job's unlike anything else. Imagine if you or I were at work and our coworkers were constantly saying, hey, we want to bring in a better talker, a better writer, and you got to go about your business as if it doesn't make you want to cry every single night.
Right, and I heard someone use a similar analogy, and I can't forget who, so I'm sorry for that, but they said something like, you know, if someone wanted to bring in, you know, Scott Van Pelt to replace me, and my company was talking about that, you know, it doesn't make you feel good, but you're like, okay, well, at least they're replacing me with, you know, maybe the biggest name out there or something like that. But what if my company starts openly talking about bringing in, you know, Joe down the street? And then you're like, whoa, okay. Now, you know, I could understand bringing in Peter King to replace me or something, but now you're talking about Joe down the street. That doesn't feel good. So, you know, I hope Drew kind of has that outlook on this. But, Brady, what happens when, you know, Kareem Jackson and the Broncos are talking to, you know, the Andy Daltons of the world to come in and replace
right.
him? That's when he's probably thinking, oh, my gosh, Joe down the street. What? Now I'm really disrespected.
All right, Zach. So all this talk, you know, whether it's Deshaun, and I get it. I mean, if you have an opportunity, I've been pretty vocal about it. I think it's too high of a price, but whatever. It would be big news. It would be exciting news for sure. But the rest of the quarterback scene is interesting to me. And I guess I find myself stepping back and going, and I wanted to get your take on this. Brett Rippon, are we completely convinced that Brett Rippon wouldn't be a good backup quarterback? Or is that, did we see enough where we said, you know what, I just don't know that this guy has it? Because he was really good for Boise State. His last year wasn't maybe the greatest, but he was still pretty good overall. And I didn't think he was terrible with his opportunities last season.
No, he certainly wasn't. I mean, he got 20% of the Broncos' wins for them last year, and he only got one start. So he was a perfect one for one, and I'm right there with you. I think Brett Rippon is a good backup in the NFL and will be that throughout his career. So when we talk about bringing in another guy, whether it's to compete with Drew or be the guy, it's not to replace Brett Rippon. It's you don't really think Brett Rippon is a starter in the NFL. So when you look at guys who you're going to bring in, you're thinking, can this guy be a starter in the NFL? Now, there's some short-term answers like the Andy Dalton that I talked about. He's a free agent this year, the Ryan Fitzpatrick short-term answer. And then there's guys that maybe have a little bit longer of a career and more hope that they could turn into the guy, not just be a starter, such as a Jameis Winston, who could be a free agent if the Saints don't sign him. And then you also talk about Gardner Minshew trading for him potentially. A lot of people will debate on his ceiling, but he's been a pretty good quarterback when he's had his chances. So the Broncos are going to have to decide which route they want to go down. But, Brady, I totally agree with you about Brett Rippon. I would feel very comfortable as him being a true backup.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. How about the other side? Of course, Justin Simmons, that's a big name. Shelby Harris, Von Miller, Philip Lindsay. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. Where are we now at this stage? How do we feel about Justin Simmons? Are we feeling pretty good that a deal's going to get done and Simmons is a long-term Bronco?
Yeah, once they hired George Payton, it really seemed like the momentum had shifted with Justin Simmons. I mean, Justin Simmons was saying his goodbyes 1 month ago when John Elway was still the general manager. And literally hours later, John Elway had stepped away from the general manager position into his elevated role, giving control to George Payton. And with George Payton, he made it very clear throughout this past month that he wants to keep his own players. And specifically when asked about Justin Simmons, He said he made it very clear that they don't want to let good players leave. So there is optimism there. Now is when the negotiating starts. And I imagine that this negotiating will probably take place closer to when free agency starts, starting now until free agency starts March 17th. I would expect really in the beginning of March is when things will heat up with Justin Simmons. But the question will be, okay, George, you said you really like Justin Simmons. You want to keep the good players around. That totally makes sense. But you want to reset the safety market for Justin Simmons, because I think that's what Justin's going to want. At the end of the day, if John Elway was the general manager, I don't think Justin Simmons would be around long term. With George Payton, I don't think one of his first moves is going to be coming in and saying goodbye to Justin Simmons. So I do think a long-term deal gets worked out.
Yeah, no, I know Broncos. I mean, it'd be huge, because assuming they figure out everything with Kareem Jackson and pick up that option, I don't know if they'll, in your, you know, what they're going to end up doing there, getting him to go down a bit. But, I mean, I think they have one of the best safety duos in the NFL, if not darn close.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And Kareem Jackson is actually the sneaky question mark that comes into this conversation, because Kareem Jackson has certainly lived up to the contract that he signed on the field. In his 2 years with the Broncos, he's been everything that they wanted and more. But is George Payton going to be okay spending $25 million with their two safeties this year when you have a guy like Will Parks that you could sign up for a 1 or 2 year deal at, you know, just a couple million bucks? And if it comes down to it, who would George Payton rather have if he has to decide between Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson? Well, he's probably going to choose the younger Justin Simmons, and then that's where Kareem Jackson's option really becomes interesting. Now, that's, again, why I expect Kareem Jackson's option not to be picked up until later in the process. They have until March 16th to do that. But as a player, of course you want Kareem Jackson back. But with the salary cap being tighter this year because of COVID, it wouldn't shock me if Kareem isn't back on the price tag he's on. Now, maybe what you can do with Kareem is come at him with an extension, a 2 or 3 year extension, in order to get that number down. But also, you're talking about a 33-year-old, so there's risk there too.
Yeah, no, that one's certainly going to be interesting to watch how that one, both sides on the safety side, play out. How about Shelby Harris? I loved watching him this season. I thought I was pretty pumped that they ended up picking him up later last year, and I think he made the Broncos look good for doing so. Do you see him in a Broncos uniform next year?
Yeah, I think so, and I think it comes at the expense of Jarrell Casey, because Jarrell Casey right now, the Broncos can move on from him and save over $10 million in salary cap without a single dollar of dead money. I love the Broncos bringing in Jarrell Casey last year, but now you have to decide between keeping Jarrell Casey, an older guy that you only got to see 3 games in last year, and was coming off of arguably his worst year in a couple of years with the Titans when you brought him here last year, or Shelby Harris, the younger player that is still peaking. He is playing his best ball of his career. And ultimately, I think the Broncos move on from Jarrell Casey, or I think they could try to offer him a cheaper salary, but he may say thanks, but no thanks, and move on. And then you take that money you were going to pay Jarrell Casey and give most of it to Shelby Harris. So you could be looking along the lines of a 3 year, $30 million deal, 3 year, $27 million deal for Shelby Harris, but I do think that gets done.
Let's go over to the offensive side of the ball. Phillip Lindsay, and I know we've talked so much about Phillip Lindsay. You know, you hear the rumors in the offseason. Elway talked, well, I guess Elway said it. We're going to try to get a deal done with Lindsay long term, take care of him. Well, not only did they not get a deal done, they bring in Melvin Gordon and they give him quite a bit of money. And here we are. There's an option up for Phillip Lindsay. What do you see? Did the Broncos do anything here? What do you ultimately see for number 30 in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking disrespectful to start this this interview earlier with Tom Brady throwing the trophy. Phillip Lindsay has been disrespected this past year, or at least that he feels like he's been very disrespected. And so what the Broncos have with him, he's a restricted free agent. So that means that they get to decide whether they want to put a tender on him. And there's a couple of options they can do. They can do in what's called an original round tender, which will pay him around $2 million, and he can go and negotiate with other teams as a restricted free agent. If another team signs him, the Broncos will have an opportunity to match that deal. But if he signs somewhere else on an original round tender, the Broncos won't get anything in return. Or the Broncos can put a second-round tender on him, which will cost them about $3.5 million, or they can put a first-round tender on him, which will cost them about $4.5 million for this season. And he can go negotiate with other teams in free agency under those deals. But if he were to sign with another team, then that team would have to give up either a first- or a second-round pick for Philip Lindsay. So to me, this boils down to something very simple. If the Broncos put an original round tender on Philip Lindsay, meaning they get nothing in return if he signs somewhere else, then he will be gone. If they put a second or a first round tender on him, which I wouldn't imagine they put a first round, I imagine it'll be a second round tender on him, then he'll be back for one more year for $3.5 million. Brady, if it's me, this is very, very simple. You put a second round tender on Philip Lindsay, see how he does this year. If he is in your long term plans, you can sign him to a long term deal. But I'm not letting Phil Lindsay walk this year. He's been too good, and especially with Melvin Gordon potentially being suspended for three games, you can't really let him leave.
Yeah, well, and he's recently been kind of vocal about, not necessarily Pat Shurmur, I guess, but about the offense and how to utilize him at his height and size. And I, you know what, I think he's spot on talking about, you know, what are you doing running me up the gut, third and inches? Like, that's not the kind of back that I am. I still have a lot of question marks around Pat Shurmur and how he utilized both Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. Even though Gordon was really good in the back half of the season, I still had my concerns as far as how Shurmur addressed the run game. So we'll see if maybe they've all learned something from it, and they can be better for next season. Zach, we went through the gamut, man. Always appreciate you running through this with us. And what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out in the next couple of days?
Oh, man, just checking out all the options the Broncos can make, and at quarterback specifically. But then how does that impact the rest of the team? Because, Brady, we talked about it, how much they're going to have to give up to get Deshaun Watson. Okay, how does that shift the team? And then also, what if it is a free agent route? What if it's a Dak Prescott and it costs you $40 million? How's that going to impact the rest of the way this team is built?
Yeah, no, there's so many question marks out there with what this market's going to do. Free agency, trade, all that, man. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. Zach, appreciate you as always, my friend. And hey, we'll see where we are this time next week.
I'm sure there'll be some shakeup. Brady, I always love the conversation.
I love it, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Excellent. All right, a new Power to Play Sports poll question. I am shocked with you, Hooligans. I thought you were more disrespectful than this. Do you have any issues with Tom Brady's post-Super Bowl celebration and tossing the Lombardi trophy? 80% of the Hooligans say yes. You guys have an issue with this. Where are my disrespectful Hooligans? Go to thehullshow.com. You're Hooligans. You're not church choir boys, you're Hooligans. I need more than 20% of you saying, I don't have any issues. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. I'm floored by this. All right, Colfax, we're way overdue. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary. On the Rocks is. This one's from Horse and Dragon Brewing in Fort Collins. Whistle Blast Honey Brown Ale. It's always good for these kind of cold days, Colfax. Pick up selections from Horse and Dragon Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-thru. Open until midnight every single night. Also want to introduce Molly Brown Spirits from Denver, bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey, available only at On the Rocks Liquor. All right, the daughter of the silversmith who crafted the first Lombardi trophy has called out Tom Brady for disrespecting the trophy. Can't make it up. Now, I guess I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, like who made the trophy and all that. Okay, and it's not like disrespect. It's a legendary trophy. It's an amazing trophy. Lombardi trophy, man. I'm a little surprised at the Hooligans, though. So our new Power to Play Sports poll question is, do you have any issues with Tom Brady's post-Super Bowl celebration, maybe specifically tossing the Lombardi trophy from boat to boat? And first off, it wasn't just Gronk. There's like eight other guys on that, 9, 10, 11 other guys right there. I mean, he's going to get it across there. I have zero issue with this. Like, I'm guessing the people that are voting on this, Colfax, don't really have an issue with the Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi trophy, but just the fact that they hate Tom Brady, they just can't let it go. I mean, this guy, what does he have to do? You know, you guys thought, oh, Deflategate. That's how he was winning all those other Super Bowls. He was taking the air out of a football. Well, he won like four after that. So then what was the issue? Well, it's all Bill Belichick. He's the greatest. Tom couldn't go do it anywhere else. Brady goes to Tampa Bay and wins it. Well, now, well, no, but that team stacked. Well, they were 7-9 last year. Now it's, oh, Tom Brady was drunk? Well, it used to be his answers were always like the Patriot way. You know, he would never really crack his personality. He would always give this answer to that, whatever. And, you know, you ultimately didn't like him because of the way he didn't do anything wrong. I don't know, the way he was married to Giselle. That bothered you? Now it bothers you that he's partying. He's showing too much character. What is it? Is this the Lawnster? What's going on, my man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
You know what? Doing too. Even though it's cold, doing okay.
Staying warm, man. Got to do what you got to do.
Yep, that's it. You know, I don't have any problem with this. It's kind of funny just to
hilarious.
Have a little, it's something just kind of laugh at a little bit.
We in the media, we want players to open up, give us sound bites, give us something entertaining. The second we do, we rip them to shreds. And this guy is just out there having a blast, having a couple of drinks, and throws the trophy around. It's not. I didn't even think it was disrespectful. I mean, if anything, it's adding more to it, throwing it across the boat to your teammates. It makes it even cooler for me.
Well, I think it's funny is this all the guys starting to hold him up a little bit after he's drinking so much.
Yeah, right. It's like, just relax. Lawnster, you know, after you have a big lunch, you know, you might have a margarita once in a while. It's okay to let loose.
It is. I mean, hey, just let your hair down a little bit. Hey, let's everybody just wind down here a little bit.
Yeah, no, I don't have an issue with it. Hey, what's for lunch, man? We haven't done this in a while. What's for lunch?
I'm having a burrito bowl.
Oh, like from the Doba?
Something like that. So, yeah.
Okay, you just kind of made it yourself. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, staying
yeah.
healthy, taking the tortilla out of that.
Nope, tortilla staying in there, buddy.
Oh, so you're having a... All right, I get you. Lawnster, appreciate you, my man.
Hey, for sure.
Yeah, man, I mean, Lawnster doesn't have an issue with it. Lawnster's probably out partying somewhere right now. He's telling everybody in the back to be quiet. Hey, I'm going to make this call into this radio show. Everybody be quiet for a second. All right, that's our new Power to Play Sports poll question. 66% of the hooligans still saying, yes, you have issues with Tom Brady's post-Super Bowl celebration tossing the Lombardi Trophy. Go to thewholeshow.com to find out, or to vote. Go vote, please, hooligans. Can you say no for me, please? 33%, that's it? Oh, my goodness. We'll be right back.
We have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310KFK. It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310KFK, the block party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Well, that's when you know it was a fast-moving hour. Here we are, right up against it. When we come back, I'll get to my game of the week. More on Drew Locke. And basically, this team, for the most part, pretty excited about the idea of Deshaun Watson coming to town. Well, what if there's no turning back? After that, how's Drew handling it? We'll talk about it next. It's The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.